It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Live from the Patriot Awards, it's the Will Kane Podcast. And today, we're going to hang out with Tommy Lahren. What's up? Welcome to the Will Kane Podcast. As always, I hope you will download, rate, and review this podcast wherever you get your audio entertainment, Apple, Spotify, or at Fox News Podcast. You can watch the Will Kane Podcast on Rumble or on YouTube. We're live right now at the Hard Rock Cafe, Hotel, and Casino in Hollywood, Florida. We got a crowd around us right now here recording the Will Kane Podcast. This is awesome. We love you guys, too. Truly, we do. The relationship between Fox News and its fans is truly something unique. I've been involved in this business for well over a decade. I've worked at CNN, and I've worked at ESPN. I've worked at The Blaze, and now I work at Fox. And let me just tell you, the relationship here with the fans of Fox is absolutely unique. I love it. So happy you guys have come to the Patriot Awards. I hope you come, whoever's listening and watching, come next year. Come meet us. I want to shake all of your hands and meet you individually, and hopefully we can do that in the future. Before we get going with Tommy Lahren today, I want to talk to you about one of the biggest stories in the news that we talked about in the last episode of the Will Kane Podcast. On Monday, we talked about, rather Wednesday, I got to get my day straight. On Wednesday, I told you we need sober leadership, willing to ask tough questions, to be curious and inquisitive, and not be shouted down by being called a conspiracy theorist or a Putin apologist. The biggest story in the news of the last 2 days has been the story that missiles landed in Poland, a NATO country, and the leader of Ukraine, Zelensky, immediately blamed that on Russia. Now, here's why we have to revisit this story from just a few days ago. That puts the United States of America on the verge of nuclear war. It puts us on the doorstep of World War III. And as we sat there in that moment, all I asked, whether I was hosting for Tucker Carlson the other night or here with you, was that we get sober leadership willing to ask tough questions. Within hours of Zelensky blaming that on Russia, the news from Poland is that those were actually Ukrainian missiles that landed in Poland. From the beginning, and this is not to say who is a good guy or who is a bad guy, this is only to serve the most important question of what serves the interest of the United States of America. From the beginning, we have been manipulated, lied to, and called a conspiracy theorist if you did not immediately adopt the line that we need to shove our money, our funds, and possibly our troops, potentially our troops, towards war with Russia. We cannot live like this. We have to ask hard questions. We have to be willing to be called every name in the book to find our way to the truth. In the past couple of days, we have heard now, it's been reported in the New York Times, that, for example, the number two in charge of the Proud Boys was an FBI informant on the grounds of the Capitol on January 6th. That would have got you called a conspiracy theorist. We have learned from reporting of sources inside law enforcement that NBC News, by the way, that Paul Pelosi opened the door to his house for law enforcement and returned to his potential attacker. That would have got you called a conspiracy theorist just a week ago. The point is, apparently the closer you get to the truth, the more you are called a conspiracy theorist. And we are not allowed to ask the most important questions. And in the case of what I'm talking to you about today, one that would lead us to the doorstep of nuclear war. We have to be willing to be inquisitive, to be sober-minded, to push for the truth, and to demand that of the people that work for us, our nation's leaders. All right, today I'm going to be joined here on the Will Kane Podcast with, she's a rock star, she's a superstar. You can catch Tommy Lahren over at Outkick. She's got a daily show. It's on Outkick.com. It's on Twitter. I'm going to be hanging out with Tommy Lahren. We're going to talk about the news of the day and when and how and what did she think as Tommy Lahren was becoming an absolute superstar. Here is Tommy Lahren.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network, subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
All right, so pleased, and I count last night as a blessing because I'm walking through what they call, I think, is the Oculus here at the Hard Rock Hotel in Hollywood, Florida, and I'm with Clay Travis, and they're waiting, I believe, for like an Uber Eats delivery of a Snickers.
Yes, that was me.
Tommy Lahren.
That was me. I did not go out. I did not party. I did order, however, Famous Amos and Snickers to just enjoy to my heart's content in my hotel room. And you know what? Since I've been married, that is the highlight of my evenings now. I don't go out. I don't party. At least not on a weekday. Catch me on a weekend. Maybe I can outlast you. But on a weeknight, oh, I am there with the Snickers and in bed.
We have to correct the record on a couple of items. First of all, you've been married for 2 weeks. So I don't want to hear about your reigned-in social life.
Four weeks. It's been almost a month. So.
Second, I did drag you out. Clay and I did drag you out.
You did.
I will attest to the audience, you didn't have a single drink, but you did go out with us for a little bit. And we got to hang out, which was cool for me because, honestly, I've never gotten to know you much. I mean, I've been around you a little bit. I've wanted to, you know, know Tommy Lahren, the person. And I want to talk about that a little bit today. But before we do, let's jump in with what I think is, in my estimation, the biggest news of the day. And it is so representative of really, honestly, everything that we talk about in the news. And that is this, that 2 days ago we thought, or it was told to us, that Russia might have lobbed the missile into Poland. Zelensky, the leader of Ukraine, immediately blamed Russia. And we are immediately, seemingly, on the verge of World War III. It took less, Tommy, than 12 hours for it to then come out. No, in fact, it was Ukrainian missile that hit in Polish territory. And what I come away from this is, we have to wake up and start asking sober adult questions and not yell Putin apologist before nuclear weapons are launched.
To me, that has been the most frustrating part, and it goes way back. I mean, anything that we talk about when it comes to Russia or Ukraine or Putin or Russian disinformation, it all goes back to, if you don't immediately point the finger at Russia, you are a Putin apologist, you love Putin, you hate America, you hate Ukraine. For me, as an average American, which I like to think I'm the voice of average Americans, I still cannot figure out why I'm hemorrhaging my tax dollars, your tax dollars of millions of Americans who are hardworking people struggling right now, to be continually sent over to Ukraine. At some point, we need to look within, and we need to say the spigot needs to be tightened a little bit. That's what I'm most excited about, the potential of a Donald Trump 2024, to be honest with you, is I don't think we'd be sending other countries blank checks under President Trump. Under President Biden, the world gets a blank check.
You know, what you said is so important in that if you ask for an affirmative case to be made about not just why we might be on the verge of war, but why your tax dollars might be sent to Ukraine, you're not met with an argument. You're not met with persuasion. You're not met with words. There is no case that will be made to you. Instead, you'll just be called a Putin apologist or a conspiracy theorist. And to me, just in the past 9 days, Tommy, you can see story after story after story who's followed that same exact pattern. We had the news come out that I think the number two within the Proud Boys was an FBI informant and there on January 6th. That would have been called a conspiracy theorist. Today, it's reported in the New York Times.
Right.
There are half a dozen stories this week that would have been called conspiracy theorists, including the Paul Pelosi story, where we're getting new details. And then just give it a moment, like take a few breaths, and oh my God, the facts reveal you're not a conspiracy theorist.
But nobody talks about it when the facts are revealed because they still cover it up. This Pelosi story, I'm glad that you brought that up, because what's going on with that and the cover up there, and it was made such a big deal of before the midterms, this is another January 6th. This is another Trumper going after a Democrat. This is just more evidence that democracy is at stake. Now we're getting more information and something very kooky is going on there, but we don't hear anything about it. Let's talk about the biggest conspiracy theory, 2.5 years of COVID policy that those of us in the onset said this is not going to be a good idea, this is bad, and we were accused of wanting grandma to die. So at every turn, I think we should learn a lesson. It really doesn't matter what they call us. It really doesn't matter if they call us conspiracy theorists. Let's just go ahead and speak the truth anyway, and the labels be damned. I don't care what they call me. I want to be the side of the truth, and I want to be inquisitive. I don't want to be a sheep.
Do you think, though, to your point, there's never a moment of the correction of the record that breaks through to the popular zeitgeist? So I appreciate, and I want to be as well, a teller of the truth. However, I don't know that the truth is breaking through to the average American to ever correct the record on what is originally called a conspiracy.
No, it's not, because there's a lot of low information viewers and voters out there that they're going to believe what they're going to believe, and it really doesn't matter because the Democrats are so good at messaging. That's my biggest takeaway from the entirety of the midterm elections, is not just that we lost and we didn't do as well as we thought. Maybe our candidates weren't as strong as they could have been. It was, we suck at messaging. We also suck at sticking together. I get it. Republican Party, we're very independent. We like to be independent thinkers. We like to challenge each other. All great things. We don't have an echo chamber over here, but we cut off our nose to spite our face, and we need to start coming together. If we want to win again in another election, we are really going to need our strategy to be cohesive, and right now it's not, and probably getting worse.
Oh, then I have to follow up on something you said earlier, which I hadn't heard you yet say, and that is you made the affirmative case for, in 2024, Donald Trump. Now, the argument is being made that the Republican Party and the conservative movement is not cohesive right now, that there is a sizable contingent that is rallying around Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida. There will be other politicians who throw their hat in the ring. Do you believe right now that that cohesion, that unity, does need to rally around Donald Trump?
I'm really conflicted on it. So I am a Trump supporter. I've been a Trump supporter. The question is not whether I think Donald Trump would be a great president. He was a great president. He would be a great president again. If we could put him in the White House tomorrow, things would be solved, I think, in a timely manner. I think he really could save our country. The question is, can he get elected with everything stacked against him? Now, part of me says there might be too much stacked against him at this time. But we also said that in 2015 and 2016, they underestimated him. Now they don't underestimate him, but they have put all their guns facing him. I am a big supporter of Ron DeSantis. I hope that he runs. I know that a lot of people don't. But I think that there needs to be an argument made for the two of them actually dueling it out. I don't want to see that for our party because I think it's going to be problematic. But it's going to need to happen. They're already setting it up. The duel has already been set. So I hope that Ron DeSantis throws his hat in the ring as well. And then we're going to have to see. Let the best man win. It's not a given. I think a lot of people want us Trump supporters to say it's just Trump. It's the best man with the best chances of winning, and that's who I'm going to put my support behind, though I will always be a fan of Donald Trump.
Well, I think that's very, very well put. And I think that what we can all do is acknowledge two truths about Donald Trump. One, he, for the better of the conservative movement, repositioned much of the ideology. I truly believe that a more populist message focused on the working class, as you called yourself earlier, a member of, I think you said, you didn't say working class, but you said
average American. The forgotten Americans.
From South Dakota. Did you grow up on a ranch?
Both my parents grew up on ranches. So I am the epitome of what a flyover state is.
Yes.
So those kind of people that were largely forgotten, that just work hard, don't ask for much from anybody, want the government the hell out of their lives. Those are the kind of people that Donald Trump, a billionaire from New York City, tapped into, and he did it masterfully, and
yes. He'll
do it again. Now the question is, we just have another guy that can do the same. I don't know, maybe. That's a great spot to be in, though.
Well, that was one of the true truths about Donald Trump, and the other is something that you mentioned, which is it's a big mistake to count out Donald Trump, because as you said, it's been done time and time again, and he has overcome those doubts. So I would be very, very wary about your doubts today about Donald Trump. Okay, let's talk about you. So you first hit my radar, like I think most people's radar. What are you laughing about already?
Yes, the video's online,
yes,
right?
Yep. Final thoughts.
Yeah.
Right? So, okay, when that first started hitting, which I think believe its primary success was on Facebook.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Mm-hmm.
How surprised were you in the moment that the moment was happening? I don't know how abrupt it was, and I don't know how, you know, life-changing it might have been for you at that time, but I didn't know who you were, and then everybody knew who you were.
So I started off on One America News, which a lot of people don't know. They think I started on YouTube or Facebook. I didn't. I started at One America News, and I started doing Final Thoughts. And then I had a few big moments after the terrorist attack in Chattanooga. I had a big moment calling out Obama. And then I transitioned to The Blaze. And then I had a big moment calling out Beyonce. And then a big moment calling out Colin Kaepernick. That was my biggest. That was 70 million views on Facebook. And that was a time when Facebook was at its best, right? Before they really started censoring us, before when they just really loved people that could get views, when I kind of had my heyday of living in that space, that's what it was. For me, It was surprising in that how many people can actually view what you're doing when you come from a town of 60,000 people. The fact that 60,000 people can watch it in 5 minutes is a big deal to me, and I don't take it lightly. But I think the conservative movement for a long time has needed disruptors. And we have that in Donald Trump, but we also have it in me and in people like you that maybe don't fit the mold of what people think a Republican is or looks like. We don't have the credential list of what the typical well-spoken conservative has. But we have something different. It's an X factor, and that's that we can tap into the average American, and we can say what they're thinking in maybe not always the most polished way, maybe in just a pissed off way that is authentic. And that's where I thrive, and that's what I've always done.
My favorite part of your story is your origin story. It is South Dakota. I have South Dakota is one of the handful of states that I would consider near and dear to my heart. Part of my family comes from South Dakota, not the more beautiful part of the state that you come from, more of the flatlands to the east. Yep. But I still love South Dakota. How do you go from, is it Rapid City?
Mm-hmm.
60,000 people in Rapid City to One America News. How do you make that leap professionally and geographically?
Well, you go to school at UNLV in Las Vegas, and you really, to me, the best thing that I've done throughout my entire career is I move places that I know really nothing about, and I have to acclimate quickly. But imagine coming from South Dakota, right, to Las Vegas. It's a big change. It's a big difference. UNLV is one of the most diverse universities in the nation, and for good reason. There's a lot of viewpoints. There's a lot of different people from a lot of different places, and I learned through that. And then for me, it was just, I think that young people have lost that, calling people up on the phone. I want a job. I want an opportunity. I want an internship. I did it relentlessly until I found One America News. I found One America News. It was run by an older gentleman who said, hey, I think you can have your own show. And I thought, okay, I'm going to graduate and come here and do this. And then you just do it because you don't have another option. You just do it. And you don't do it by faking it. You do it by coming from a place of authenticity, which for me was not trying to seem like I was a 35-year-old anchor because I wasn't. It was just being at that point a 21-year-old who's from South Dakota who's really pissed off at what's happening to our country at that time under Obama, now much worse under Joe Biden.
Oh, our stories are similar in this respect. I've always said this. I never wanted to take no from somebody who wasn't empowered to say yes, and I was never afraid of the no. My breakthrough into television was that I guessed the email address of the president of CNN. I had been doing stuff at Fox, Fox and Friends, the Great American Panel on Hannity for free, putting together a reel, and I emailed it to the president of CNN, again, guessing at his address, and said, you need somebody like me over there. You need this point of view. And he responded within 15 minutes, you're right, come in and see me. So you're telling me yours was on the phone, I need a job, I want to work for you,
just casting an internship. I'll do anything. I'll write, I'll do anything. I can do it all. Like let me just do something. But young people don't do that anymore. They expect to graduate with a piece of paper, and they expect people to be knocking down their door, giving them a job where they can have 6 months of vacation, work at home, have a work-life balance of where they don't do much. Oh, and also they want to make videos and be influencers on Instagram and TikTok. It's not the way that the real world works, but unfortunately we've glorified that so much that young people think that that's how it works. It's not.
Well, now you're crushing it at OutKick. Clay and I were talking about that together last night. I was on my social media, I think it was this morning, I looked up, and your show from yesterday at this moment in time had like 150,000 views that you did yesterday. I'm sure it's higher now, you know. So you clearly have established and broken through and continue to garner that audience. So before I knew you, you know, again, I only knew you from afar, and you did accomplish this place in conservatism where you lived in pop culture as well. Like what do you know? Rappers. Charlamagne the God? Like, who do you
know Charlamagne. I've had feuds with a number of them. I mean, the list is pretty long. If
but
I were to start
like
out,
it's not all animosity though.
It's a mutual respect with some of them. I mean, one of my biggest accolades that I can put on my little IMDb BD page is that I am actually in a Jay-Z song. They sampled my voice in a Jay-Z Pusha T song, Drug Dealers Anonymous.
Was it friendly or was it?
Oh no, it was my actual voice. But I love it. I mean, I lean into that kind of stuff. I lean into that kind of controversy. I've had feuds with Nicki Minaj, Cardi B, The Game, you name it, they probably don't like me, or at least we've had some back and forth. I've been on The Daily Show with Trevor Noah. All these people, though, that I've actually met in person, they like me, whether they want to admit it or not. They like me, but they would never admit it to their audience. Charlamagne and I were friends. I wouldn't say we were friends. And then he made the mistake of telling people that were so angry that him and I were collaborating on things. They said, you know, why are you giving this white girl a chance? And he said, hey, if you want to do something, do what she does. Like, if black women are mad, black women go do what she's doing. There was a huge fallout from that. He distanced himself from me entirely. And now he just bashes me and calls me racist. And he knows it's not the truth. But
I didn't know any of this. Yeah. I do remember there was, I knew you had a friendly relationship or a collaboration. I guess it was with Charlamagne. But that has, you know what makes me so sad about that, Tommy, is, I mean, I don't know. A good percentage of my career was in, quote unquote, I don't know what we're going to call it, acceptable mainstream media. I spent 5 years at ESPN, and I have a lot of friends who don't share my political points of view. But I see some of those friends, I feel like, I hope I'm not being, I hope I'm not manifesting it myself or being insecure. But I do feel those friends distancing themselves from me. And it's, I don't know, they disagree with my points of view. They forgot who I was. I don't, it makes me sad. It makes me sad personally. Like, I hate that. But then to see that for you, it's like, why can this not be the case? Why can't you have a relationship of people that you disagree with?
And it's always one way, right? That's the frustrating part, is that I would never look at somebody that's on CNN, MSNBC, Comedy Central, ESPN, I don't care. Leftist-leaning platforms, which are the bulk and majority of the platforms, I would never look at them and say, I would never be friends with you. I would never do that. I will get to know you. I've had some of my best moments in my career with Chelsea Handler, of all people. I've debated Simone Sanders. I've had relationships with people that think vastly different than I do, but we still talked about things like we were human beings, but they can't do it the other way. They just can't. They can't get over that hump because there's this self-righteousness that the left has adopted, and they won't let it go. They think that we're bad people. To their core, they think to our core, we are bad people. And I don't know how we break through that other than just to continue to be gracious and kind and do what we can.
You through the course of this career, you ended up so in it, Tommy, like, I don't know, in the zeitgeist, in the battle. Do you think you took, you have taken more incoming hits, I think, than, I mean, if I just took a panel of us around here, we're sitting here right here at the Patriot Awards, a lot of our friends around here, but you're in the top 1% of people that have taken hits. Like,
yeah.
But what is that, does that make you wary of people? Does that make you, is your guard up a lot? Like, how does it feel? What do you think it's, like,
I'll tell you, the only way that impacts me is this. There's a lot of things that I want to say. And when I was a little bit younger, when I was in my days at the Blaze or elsewhere, if I had a thought that I wanted to put out there, I would just tweet it. Now I take a minute and I think, okay, now what are they going to say about this? What are they going to call me with this? Is media relations going to call me about this? And then I put that into the balance of things. That is the only thing that on a daily basis affects me or impacts me.
But what about your personal life? Like when you meet people?
Okay, so here's the only way in my personal life. I am very used to it. I was in Albuquerque, New Mexico about a month and a half ago. Had to barricade myself and my father in a kitchen as they tried to mob and attack me and the speech goers and everybody else at TPUSA, University of New Mexico. That the state police had to be called, the SWAT team had to be called. It was a giant mess. What bothers me the most is not that I was in that situation, it's that my dad was in that situation. Currently, I'm married. My husband is a real hothead. He does not like people saying bad things about me. He does not like people saying bad things about me in person, on social media, what have you. People have thrown things at me before in his presence. So for me, it's more teaching the restraint that I've had to learn to other people, because it's harder for the people that love you to see you being attacked and feel like they can't do anything. But they know they can't do anything, because that's the reaction that the other side wants. They would love for my husband to lose his job for the Marlins because he did something on social media. They would love that for him. So I have to remind him, like, in the big picture, let it go. And it's not so easy for people around you to let it go.
J.P. Arencibia, pitcher for the Miami Marlins.
He was for the Blue Jays. He works for the Marlins currently.
Oh,
he played most of his career up in communist Canada.
How did you guys meet?
good old Instagram.
Really?
Yeah. No, funny story. We met. He had DM'd me a few times. I didn't respond. And then I did a little thing the morning of January 6th because it was after the Georgia runoff. And I was like, hey, listen, everybody, it's going to be okay. We're going to regroup. That was before anything had happened, the storming of anything. But we were just talking. And then, of course, January 6th is when we started talking. So what a wonderful story that I'm sure the mainstream media would love.
Like, and then what? You know, DMs turned into a real-life date at some point?
Just came to Nashville. And he went to the University of Tennessee, which I know you're friends with Clay. So you know, like, how diehard Tennessee fans are, and they love Tennessee. So.
Yeah.
I brought him from Miami to Nashville. So
you're the second. What do you? Kaylee McEnany met her husband on social media.
On Twitter, yes.
And he is.
He was a professional baseball player pitcher, as well. Yep.
What's going on, Major League Baseball? Like, this is clearly...
Because you know what, I'll tell you this.
If you're out there and you play baseball, so what we've learned is you got a shot.
And what we've learned is 90% of them are conservative.
Oh,
so
you're telling.
I'm going to tell you that right now.
Baseball?
Baseball is conservative.
Not,
I'm just going to go on record.
I'm going to say NBA is the other way, is my
Everything
guess.
Else is the other way.
NFL?
Baseball is conservative.
NFL, I don't know about the NFL. It's not 90-10 liberal, NFL. And definitely when you get into the coaching staffs.
Yeah, that's a much different environment, yeah. Yes.
But baseball, overwhelmingly conservative.
It is.
Interesting.
It is.
All right. Tommy, this is, I'm so happy you came over today. We got, I know, we're sitting here at the Patriot Awards again. There's people lined up that want to meet you. And I'm really appreciative you gave me 20 minutes. I hope we can do it again.
Yes.
Maybe over at OutKick. And I would love the opportunity, both on air and off air, to continue to get to know more about your story. I find it fascinating.
And you and I talk about this in the halls of Fox and Friends when I'm in New York, but I just want the admission on your podcast. Texas and Tennessee, two great states. Visually, Tennessee is a better state.
I admitted that in the hallways.
There we go. That's
did
it. You did. You said to look at. And you know what? As a witness, I believe
to look at.
Pete Hegseth also witnessed you saying that. To look at, Tennessee is more beautiful.
Maybe you'll hear me say that off air. You'll never hear me say that on air.
All right. I'll get you on record.
All right. Thank you, Tommy.
Thanks, Will.
All right. We're going to step aside here for just a moment. Stay tuned.
All right there. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Tommy Lahren. I always do. So here we go before we go today. It's Will's picks of the week. Ready? If you're placing your money this week, this is where you go. We have, I'm going to stay in the Pac-12 this week. There's some sports fans here. I know the least about the Pac-12 because I go to bed before they play football. I get up at 4 a.m. on the East Coast to host Fox and Friends. That's not going to scare me off. You have Utah visiting Oregon. Utah is getting 3 points. Give me the home team. Oregon is an awesome environment. They just win. I'm going with Oregon. USC versus UCLA, the big rivalry in Los Angeles. As a kid, I grew up rooting for USC. Rodney Pete, Marcus Allen. I almost went to USC just because I love their football team. Not now. I'm going with UCLA. I'm getting 2.5. UCLA's at home. They score points. UCLA does. Watch them. My team, or not my team, TCU. I've bet against them way too many times. TCU, Baylor, the Holy War. TCU is giving up 3.5 at Baylor. Done counting out TCU. Won with them last week against my Longhorns. Take TCU. And finally to pro football. Lions against Giants. Lions getting 3. Give me the Lions. My Dallas Cowboys against Pete Hegseth's Minnesota Vikings. This is the battle of the weekend. You'll see it on Fox and Friends this weekend. The Cowboys are giving up 1.5 going to Minnesota. So do I go with my heart or my brain on this?
Brain.
I can't. No, you'd never go with your brain in sports. I can't give Pete this. Give me the Cowboys. I have no hope, no confidence. I just know it's what I have to do. I have to follow my heart. Give me the Cowboys, and I will crow about it on TV against Pete Hegseth. That's going to do it for today here on the Will Cain Podcast, live from Hollywood, Florida. Hope to see you again next year. I will talk to you again on Monday.
Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts and Amazon Prime members. You can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
Chair and join me, Rachel Campos Duffy,
and me, former U.S. Congressman Sean Duffy, as we share our perspective on the discussions happening at kitchen tables across America.
Download From the Kitchen Table, the Duffys, at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download podcasts.